An occasional series that I'm going to be teaching over the next few months, Platform 9¾. Alongside this, other members of core team are going to be doing some work which has come out of a lot of study the guys have been doing over an extended period on missional essentials. So we're going to be really focused on very different things. I am interested in what's going on inside of you and how it works out, and the guys are going to be teaching from a more strategic point of view. We hope that both sets of talks will really be right in the centre of what God wants to talk to us about at the moment. Platform 9¾, not a terribly straightforward title for where I'm going, but the bottom line is this, or the top line is this, if you like, that Platform 9¾ says that God really, 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 really likes you very much. And that he likes you so much that he wants to be with you. You know, there are some people you like, but you like them in small doses. Yeah? God's not like that with us. He just wants us to be around more and more and more. Now, you may think that makes him a very strange God, but that's the fact. Father God wants to spend time with you. Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, wants to be your big brother friend. Okay. Holy Spirit just wants to play. Yeah. Wants you to feel safe and feel safe all the time. He came, Jesus went, so the Holy Spirit could come and be with us. So God the Father, who wants to spend time with us. God the Son wants to be a big brother friend. Somebody who looks after us, shows us how to do stuff, and makes sure we've understood things. And the Holy Spirit really longs that we should have fun, we should feel safe, and be part of God's forever family. You know, God, Father, Son, and Spirit don't need us. They were having a great time all through eternity before they created us. But when they did, they decided they liked us, and they liked us a lot. So much so that the more time we get to spend with them, the happier they are. Now, if that sounds really weird to you, that's a piece of weirdness that it's impossible to explain to anybody who has never met God. And it only makes sense to us in bits, because there are lots of times when I feel a bit like Adam. You remember Adam and Eve when they had a really bad day, probably no worse than some of the days we have, but they didn't see the consequences for everybody else. They did the one thing God had not told them to do, had told them not to do, and they decided because of that, that God didn't want to have contact with them. And for the following thousands of years, God was working to a plan that brought everybody back together again. And that's what it's been about. It's what it's still about. And that's why, as well as talking about what goes on inside us, we want to talk about missional essentials, because that's what shapes us. Okay. The video, some of you are going to get sick of this, some of you will enjoy it, because I want to show it every week, because I think it says, every week that I'm talking about this, as something really important. So, off we go. So, what's Platform 9¾ about? It's about another world. It's about muggles and wizards. It's about the fact that muggles can never get there, and that it's impossible for wizards to explain to muggles what's going on. In fact, it just fits so, it's probably one of the first redemptive analogies that comes out of the Harry Potter stories, that if anybody belongs to Christ, they are a new person. The old has gone, the new has come. And because of that, there is trying to think of another way of saying a fundamental disjunction, a real difference between that world and the world to come. And I know that you from time to time at school or with your families or at work find yourself thinking, if only I could put it into words. Well, save yourself some effort. Some of this you're never going to be able to. And we'll come back to that in a moment. So, this business of another world, platform 9 3/4, we talk about on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's not just a dream, it's a possibility. The kingdom is near, right? We talk about thin places. We're not going to talk about thin places just now, but that's another really good way of understanding where it feels so close that heaven is on earth. And you know, that's one of the great things about sung worship, that it teaches us what it feels like to be close to God. And then, of course, people talk about, particularly people who do science fiction, which I don't, talk about parallel universes. But it is a parallel universe. And if you want to be religious, and basically, guys, the way that I'm doing this series is that those of you who have been Christians for a long time have to do your own work. I will give you some Bible pointers, but what I'm really interested in is making sure that this stuff is accessible to absolutely everybody in the church. Parallel universe, yep, it really is possible that... Enough of that. That was just for the very old people who are around. And if you don't know, who's really old enough to know who sang that? Belinda Carlisle. What, you were old enough to know?
No, my mum's in the
60s. Yeah. What do you mean 60s? 1980s that was. Yeah. Not that old. Okay, off we go. So, what we're about is that out of this series, 9 3/4, platform 9 3/4, what we want to do is to increasingly notice God, and to, as we notice God more and more, to pay attention, and then to respond to God. Now, I can only use negative examples to make the point why it's important not only to notice, but to attend to and to respond to. But think about it like this. I know there are a couple of people here who go to Corsham School. And you just imagine you're in class and everybody's doing what they do when there are no teachers around. And Miss West appears. The Wicked Witch of the West, yeah? Appears. Now... there will be people, and you know that all of you have been, when you've been at school, can remember occasions like this, that everybody notices that the teacher is in the room except one person, right? And you're not sure what to do, whether to poke them. Depends how much you dislike the person who's messing around this neck, because they will carry on because they haven't noticed. But when they notice, the thing that's going to cause the trouble with the teacher is if they don't pay attention. And even more, if they carry on mucking about when, you know, things are supposed to be happening. In fact, it's like seeing a cop's car on the motorway, isn't it? You get one, a police car sitting on one of those little lump things, And you may be going along at sort of French speeds. We've calculated on top of that the 10% error that in theory you might be allowed. But if when you see a police car there, you slow down, right, you notice, you attend to, you respond to, you're going to be okay. Now, if anybody thinks of a positive example, because God isn't about punishing us, he's about wanting to spend time with us, wanting to be our friend, wanting us to enjoy life, feel safe, and to play together. Okay, I've talked for enough now. Pretty much people from school are together, but if you two girls and possibly Nathan, you want to move, there are some people who are retired who are pretty much together. Wendy can go and join those, as she's now in the retirement. There are those of you who work mainly... listen, here's the question. This works. This is the way it works. You've got about 4 or 5 minutes on this. But here's the big question. When is it easier for you to notice God? At Soul Survivor or at school? On Sundays or Mondays? When we're gathered or when you're scattered? When you're with friends or when you're alone? And you may have some more either-ors that you can think about. So get together with some people who are in a similar sort of situation to you and have a little talk about not only which is easier, but why it's easier under those circumstances. Okay, off you go. 4 or 5 minutes. Got to do it quick. We've got at least 3 more videos to do this morning. Okay, time. As we go through this series, which I expect round about by next summer will have taken 8 or 9 or 10 sessions, we'll have got to the point where you'll be asking yourself this question every time. Where is it easier? What can make a difference? Now, a good friend of ours, many of you will know her, said that for her, the worst time of her feeling close to God is in the Sunday morning meeting. Because that was when she had two small kids and she was always worried about that, how they were going to behave. But when you think about it, guys, it's just under those circumstances that we really need to know the presence of God. Because when one of those children has got blood pouring out of them, right, as will happen, or has got an elbow at a very strange angle, that's just the time when noticing that God is there becomes sort of super important. Now, hey, I'm not going to talk about how it is for me, because for you it's going to be different. We're going to use some bits of Bible during this time, and there's one particular person that we're going to focus on. Now look, just think, there's only about two, three chapters about this guy. There are some other bits, but these are the important bits. And I just love this guy, because he was such a disastrously fractured sort of person. He was not good at stuff. And in fact, if you think about some of the things that, or one particular session in his life when he got really fed up, it's helpful. But we're talking about Elijah with a J, not Elisha with a shush, okay? Because if you want to talk about Elisha with a sh, he's a very different, more organised person who got a double blessing. And actually, I think it was recorded that he did twice as many miracles, twice as many big things. But Elijah started off, all we know about him is that he came from a place called Tishbe at the beginning. He'd got a very religious name, because I think it means the Lord is God, or God, yeah, or something like that. And the first thing that happened was that God spoke to him, and God spoke to him and said that you're going to have some really dodgy weather for a long time. The sun's going to shine, there's going to be no rain. Just imagine that kind of weather. We've been in Spain for a week. We had that kind of weather. And I tell you what, it's rotten cold coming back to England. You should feel, you should feel really sorry for us. And so all the plants will die, and there'll be no rain, there'll be no food, lots of people will die. They're going to be real problems. So that's the first thing that happened with Elijah. The second thing that happened was, and this is really weird, right? God said to him, go and stay by a brook called Kerith that's still got some water in it, and I'm going to make sure you get fed. And God sent him ravens who did sort of beef burgers, really, because they brought him meat and bread. They're probably hedgehog beef burgers, you know, sort of from where chariots had run over them in the street. But at least it was food. Where they got the bread from, I do not know. But ravens came and fed him there. But, you know, he must have thought, this is wonderful. God's provision, fantastic. But then, after he'd heard God do that, the next thing that happened was the brook dried up. You know, why? Anyway, we're not doing that at the moment. We're actually talking about how he noticed God, how he attended to God, how he responded. And God said, you've got to go to talk to this woman. And he saw a woman who was on her own. And this is one of the really important bits in the Bible for anybody who's on their own with children, that God is really keen on providing for you and looking after you. When he saw her, he said to her, would you please give me some food? And she said, well, look, I've only got this little drop of oil and I've got a little bag of flour. My son and I are going to eat it. And then, you see, guys, God's priority provision for people who are on their own is something that we don't do a very good job of understanding. But there's a real tough dynamic for you here if you're in that position, because Elijah said, don't worry about your son and yourself, give it to me. Right? Which was an amazing thing to say. I tell you, he was a pretty strange guy. The funny thing was, his follower, Elisha, had pretty much the same situation and went through the same sort of thing, only very much more dramatically. But anyway, he said, go and make me some bread. And she made him some bread. And lo and behold, when she got to the pot again, there was enough there. And made him, she could make another loaf. And there was enough oil. It just went on and on and on for 3 years. Fantastic. God provides. So that was the next thing. But you see, Elijah just lived in crisis all the time, because the next thing happened was that this woman's son, right, remember that she had said, I'm going to feed my child, I'm going to have some food myself, then we're going to die, right? The kid died anyway, which is not good. And you can imagine what happened, because Elijah was hanging out there still, and she came and shouted at him. She said, what have you done this for? We were going to die anyway. Now my son's dead. And what happened was Elijah, it doesn't even say he prayed for him. Well, I think he prayed for him. I don't know what he did. But anyway, he came back to life.
He cried out to the Lord.
Yeah, cried out to the Lord. Actually, that's a bit poncy, isn't it, really? What would you do if you cry out to the Lord? Yeah, laid on him 3 times, which is what he did as well. I don't know which bit worked. You know, I don't know what he cried out. He might have cried out, God, this is weird. You know, it was. But then the next thing was the thing that everybody remembers it for, is that was what happened on Mount Carmel. And on Mount Carmel, there were some priests who worshipped Baal, 450 of them over there, and there was Elijah over here. And Elijah said to them, right, let's see who's God. No matches. Let's see fire come down and set the thing alight. So he'd set up a contest. You know, sort of, It was a cup match, if you like. More than a local derby, it was the big thing that would show up. And these guys were heavily into self-harming. Now, if you've heard about self-harming, this was self-harming serious, because apparently they cut bits off. The fire still didn't light itself. And Elijah prayed and said, "You're the God who answers by fire." And boom, it all went. So, after that, he goes off on his own with a servant. And this is really the kernel of the story, so I'm not really going to talk very much about this. But this, once again, is one of my favourite bits. He went up a mountain, and he said to his servant, "Go and look, because rain's coming." And the servant went and looked. He went and looked seven times. See, that's what happens if we... I'd love to get to this point where I really notice God, so much so where I really attended to him, really respond to him, so that when nothing's happening, I can seven times say to people, "Go and have another look. Go and have another look." Because at the moment, if I say to people, "I think God's doing something," they say, "Well, I'm not sure." I think, "Oh, I'm not sure either." Really? I want to change from being in that position. And I haven't got, some of you have got a long time to change. I haven't got all that long, right, to do that changing. But I really want to change, to be able to go back and say seven times. And of course, seven is the ultimate number. If you can push it seven times, you know you're there. But anyway, he did. And in the end, this guy saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, and because I'm not very organised, I've run out of space on there. We'll be coming back to this. But you know, after all this stuff, he got into a real big depression because of some woman. Now, it wasn't his girlfriend, you could understand that perhaps. It was some woman who wanted to kill him. And so he goes off and sits under a juniper tree. I don't know what a juniper tree looks like, but whether it's got gin bottles hanging on it or not, I don't know. But let's assume it's a bit like a palm tree. And there he is, sitting there with his head in his hands, and he's saying, "I want to die." Right? He ends up under a tree. So all those ups and downs. And you know, if Elijah could notice God, what we do know is that the final way in which he noticed God was that what happened was... And I haven't thought about what kind of picture I wanted to draw for this. But there was lightning. And there was thunder. Okay. But when the voice of God came to him, right, it was in a still small voice that he just heard in one ear. And that's going to sort of map out the kind of stuff that we want to do. But... we're not going to use that for our Bible reading today. Just want to give you a Bible reading you can take away, which is already up on the Facebook page. So you can go there and you can see it right there. But here we go. I think I need to tap on this. Yep. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Okay. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, your right hand will hold me. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Do you like that? Where can I go from your presence? It's great when people say, we're coming into the presence of God this morning. That makes me so cross. That is such cobblers. That's the politest word I can think, but it is. It's just absolute rubbish. We're coming into the presence of God. Where can I go from your presence? And this thing does strike me. You know, there is this, and excuse me using this word, but it is a very poncy thing people talk about. Oh, we're into the presence of God. The presence of God. What? I see it every time somebody says it. And even then, they talk about the manifest presence of God, as though by using even odder words, you make it... Because, really, just if you talk it in ordinary stuff, is God is present. Now, I don't think you take registers now at school, do you? Do you actually have... Oh, people do take registers. Yeah, but you don't go through... Do you say... You know, they used to go through... all the girls were addressed by their Christian names when I went to school, and all the boys would go around, and it would be Hallett, was the kid before me, Halls, Hughes, and you'd say, present, sir. And if you were feeling really idle, you'd make it even simpler than that. What would you say? You'd say, here, sir. Yeah? So the presence of God is that God is present. And if you don't want to say it posh, is that God is here. Now, what do we mean when we say God is here? Right? You're sitting down eating your breakfast on Monday morning. The presence of God is there. No, God is here. Right? In between you and the person who's working next to you, God is here. With the person whose limbs you're trying to break, Rosie, on the table. God is here, and he's going, oh. Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah, that's right. And God's on the bus. I don't know whether he cringes when Andy's not on the bus and somebody else goes and scrapes it. he might do. But he might be wanting to be with Andy as well and say, not a big deal. Doesn't really matter. God is here. Now, just imagine how that would transform your life, how it transforms my life, if I know that God is here with me. I want to show you another video, right? And when I show you this video, you just need to concentrate on trying to do the activity, because I want to show you something about awareness. Now, this may not work because it's not a very good quality video. So let's turn the light out, please, for this one. And we're pretty much here. Oh, no, I'll skip this next one because we can do that next week. Okay, come on.
This is an awareness test. How many possible...
Okay, Philippa, we'll play it again for you. Okay. We'll post it on Facebook, especially for Philippa. Right, just one more. We've got time. You enjoyed that. You know, actually, keep the light on for this one. I sort of had it in reserve if nobody saw the moonwalking bear. But, you know, that's us in our life. We're so busy counting stuff that we don't notice that God is there. So, noticing God, well, you tell me in a moment what you think is here, but just one more of these. Okay? You're watching.
Hello. Hello, mate.
You know, the way God has made us is that cultivating awareness, noticing, demands that we don't get too focused on any one thing. You know, later on in this series, I'll probably come back to that passage that I've talked about quite a lot of times, about casting down preoccupations, is the word in the New Testament, thinking about that for a bit. But let's just come up to this thing. So, What should we be focusing on? Noticing God. All sorts of ways we notice God. We notice him in relationships. We notice him when we gather. Great to notice God when we gather. I really enjoyed myself this morning in the sung worship time. And what it reminded me of was what it's like to notice God. That was quite easy for me this morning because I'd had a great time noticing God between getting up and coming out. I forgot my iPad and Carol had to pick it up for me, but I'd been noticing God. Noticing God as we meet with other people, noticing God in the still small voice, noticing God in those sort of mystical great encounters like Philippa was telling us about, like where somebody gets healed. Those things are great. They're rare, but they're relevant. Okay? Because everybody needs a few of them. But we also need to recognise that they don't happen all the time. And that when God's here, he's here in the ordinary as well as in the dramatic. And as we notice God, then we begin to attend to him. And as well as that, we'll be able to respond to him too. Okay, just a moment or two. Let's just listen to this again. I'll read it through. Psalm 139. O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before, you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, too lofty for me to attain. Here's the key. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Okay, let's pray for a minute or two. And then we're done. Here's a question for you as we steady ourselves before God. Where are you going to be this week that Father God isn't? Where are you going to be that Jesus, your big brother, is not going to be? You're going to be anywhere that's too dark? You're going to be anywhere where the Spirit isn't going to be there to say, you're safe. You can enjoy this. I just felt God impress on me as I was reading through that, that not only is God going to be there, he's going to be there in advance of us as well. He'll have sussed out what's going to happen. He'll have seen the difficult things, the difficult conversations at work, the problems with the children at home, the difficult lessons. People are going to try and bully you. The points at which you're going to feel frightened, wondering whether you need to go to the doctor, wondering where the money is coming from. He's already there. And he's saying to you, I hope they're going to notice me. Because life would be so much easier for them if they did. Holy Spirit, in surprising ways, help us notice you this week. Jesus, let us feel the warmth of your breath, your consciousness meeting our consciousness. Father God, we pray that as we watch you watching the whole world, that we'll feel your hand on our shoulder and your big hug. Amen. Okay, next time we get together and talk about this, we're going to start by asking the question, how have you been doing at noticing God? And we'll be getting feedback, telling your stories as well. And I promise you, I'll keep a record too of how well I'm doing, which, to be honest, over the past few months has not been that good. But we'll see.